You're listening to Fakeologist Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to fakeologist.com/radio3. To participate in the chat, go to fakeologist.com/audio chat. Each day, we compress and upload the day's chat, be it big or small. Leave a quick message, do a whole show. All are welcome when it's related to fakeology. Now, on with today's audio.
I always like to be here for milestones, and this is Fakeologist Audio Chat 650. By my math. So it's great to be here, John Lebon, coming to you from beautiful Chiang Mai here in northern Thailand. It's the 11th of February 2020. That's 2/11 or 22, if you don't mind. And Ab the Fakeologist actually appeared on the member Skype calls back in the day on johnlebon.com. Episode number 22. So we've got the 2/11, the 22 on 2020. There's another 2/2. There are twos coming out the wazoo here at fakeologist.com. Good to be here, John Lebon, coming to you from Chiang Mai. As I said, wow, what a beautiful city, what a great country, what a time to be alive. My only issue is it's burning season, and it's bad. It's real bad. It's not good. It's a bad thing. It's a terrible thing. It's horrible. It's a horrible thing. But I'm not going to sit here and complain about that. That's the one problem. Everything else is fantastic. And I see that Fakeologist is powering along a couple of audio chats lately featuring Ab and Jerris. I can't comment on those ones. Haven't had a chance to listen to them just yet. I'm sure they were fantastic. What is making the news here at fakeologist.com? Let's take a look, shall we? Once again, this is February 11, 2020. Wow. Already 6 weeks into the new year. Boy, does it fly. It's, by the way, it's a quarter till 11 in the evening. 11:42 p.m. on a Tuesday evening here. So we've got the top story here at fakeologist.com. Fake doctor for a fake virus. Ad writes, makes perfect sense to me that the doctor is phony. And he links to a piece from peaceofmindful.com. Peaceofmindful.com. And they've got a piece about the coronavirus doctor being not real. Good work being done over at peaceofmindful.com. Go and check it out if you haven't already. Mark Tukarski and all his friends. Blogging up a storm, very nice. Yes, indeed, this is a fake virus, and any doctor who supposedly died from the virus may in fact be a liar or a fictional character. But what you're not going to get is real people dying from a coronavirus. That is a load of nonsense. A corona overdose, if you drank a lot of coronas, the beer, yeah, you could probably do yourself damage if you really went overboard with corona beer. Unless you're like a young person or inexperienced with alcohol or otherwise predisposed towards alcohol poisoning, you'd have to drink a lot of Corona. Wouldn't you think? People who drink spirits and wine, fair enough, they can overdose and kill themselves, but you'd have to drink a lot of beer, wouldn't you? I don't know. I've gotten drunk plenty of times. Not proud of it. Never had to have my stomach pumped. Better or for worse. I've known some people that did, though. It's pretty full on. All right, so moving on, next story, child custody, possible murder mystery in Milton. Forgive me, you guys, the smoky season is that bad. I don't have an air purifier. Why would I buy one? I'm in here temporarily. Just talking for 5 minutes. I haven't even been talking for 5 minutes, I've been talking for 2 minutes. Your throat gets all messed up. It's like being in a room full of smokers. I mean, that's what it's like. I woke up this morning, I was like, ugh. I don't remember smoking last night. No, I didn't. I didn't smoke last night. When you wake up in the morning, it's like you've had a big night on the dart. It's horrible. And then people live like this. Now, of course, most people who can afford one have an air purifier, so their house is okay. And shopping centres and things tend to have air purifiers, so it's not too bad inside. But outside, a lot of people do work out there, and what, they just work like this for a couple of months a year? Jesus, man. And I have to make this clear, guys. I'm not complaining about the air pollution, as in you can't see very far. Because you actually can see pretty far here, probably further than Hanoi. It's the particulates in the air that are the issue. You can't see them, but you can definitely feel them. So it's full on. But again, like I said, apart from that, beautiful city, beautiful country, what a time to be alive, etc., etc. All right. So I don't really... Yeah, I can't even talk for more than a few minutes. full on, man. It's like living, you know, those Australian bushfires, man. It's like living next to. It is actually kind of living next to bushfires. That's where all this smoky season comes from in Chiang Rai. Apparently all the fires to the north or something. I don't know. It's full on. All right. So the third story at fakeologist.com main page. Lapa Smart isn't such a smart story. Ab writes, oh, how I was engrossed in the made-for-TV Larry King live show Elizabeth Smart saga of the 90s. It was a perfect crime, endless, unbelievable twists. I was totally sucked in. Never in a million years would I have suspected it being fake. But it was. 9/11 has taught me that you can fool the whole world with a movie, with a little cooperation from the mainstream media, and a few live graphics placed on screen. A kidnapping LARP event would be a piece of cake. Here's Miles Mathis to blow it apart. Okay, so it's going to Miles Mathis. Interesting. So in the first three stories, we've got a link to Miles Mathis and to Peace of Mindful. Harvey Weinstein, Ghostbusters Called, Sandy Hook, Kobe and the coronavirus. Interesting. That is the front page of fakeologist.com on the 11th of February 2020. And I think I'm going to leave the fakeologist review there for now to tell you the truth of the matter. I was just chatting with Gaia. He sent me a message a few hours ago saying, are you free for a quick chat? And I was like, not right now, I'm at the cafe, but I'll be home later. So I got home. I left the cafe at about 5 to 10. And I just got a message from Jairus. We don't have the audio pods. What the fuck are you talking about, man? What does that mean? I think Jairus means that we don't have the music pods. I think, Jairus, are you saying we don't have the music pods? But we can still just talk and it's recorded automatically. This is still recorded automatically, yeah? Because if it's not, I'm out of here. I ain't streaming to an audience and nobody. I can do that singing in the shower. I used to think maybe you love me now, baby, I'm sure. And I just can't wait till the day you knock on my door. I can't even do my hee-hee-hee, man. My throat's messed up. Jairus, you didn't answer my question. Don't make me... All right, I'm just going to run. Do you mean that we are still auto-recorded? Or is that gone too? Let's see what he has to say. Jairus at fakeologist.com. Fakeologist.com, fakeologist.com. Jairus is typing. Well, that's nice. Alright, good. Good, he says at the, no, that's alright. All good. Thank you for letting me know. Thank you for letting me know. Alright. Yeah, so check this out. I had to transfer some money from one bank to another bank today. And my Australian bank wouldn't let me transfer money to my other bank. They're both Australian banks, right? I've never had a problem like this before. I've had many problems with this bank, but not this particular problem. So I called them up today on Skype. I've been like, hey, listen, I've got this money in my bank, and I want to transfer it to this other bank. So can you please let me transfer my money to my other bank? And they're like, yeah, but you've got to get the SMS, the one-time password. I'm like, no, that's the problem. That phone is back in Australia. So this is not something we can do. So I don't know why after 12 months of me being on the road, you're suddenly trying to make me do this. I've transferred money from this bank many times. For some reason yesterday you wouldn't let me, so now I'm asking you politely, let me transfer my money. It is my money, and I'm transferring it to an Australian bank, so don't give me this security nonsense. You can even see the bank I'm transferring it to. They're the same name. They're both me. So please facilitate this transaction. And they're like, oh, okay. Instead of the one-time password, you just got to use the security questions. And I'm like, I never answer those things honestly, ever. Because that would be a security risk for me. All of those questions are easy for anyone who knows me to guess. Not that I think anyone's going to do that. But it defeats the whole purpose of security questions if they're like, questions like, where did you get engaged? If you know somebody, you know where they got engaged. Or you can look it up on their Facebook. That's a stupid security question. Right? Or, what is your mother's maiden name? Or, what was the first street you lived on? This isn't hard stuff for people to get. Okay? So I never answer those questions, honestly. Never. And so I said to the lady, I'm like, please, I'm talking to you. This is as secure as it gets. I'm transferring money from my bank to my bank. It doesn't get more secure than that. I even said to her, can you just transfer it? I'll give you my BSB and account number for my other bank. Just do it. Oh, no, we can't do it. I'm like, this is ridiculous. What am I supposed to do now? I just want to transfer money to my bank. So anyway, I went through this stupid process, putting in a whole bunch of fake answers for the security questions on a transfer the money app. But in the bazaar, we live in a time where to make your bank account more secure, they ask you questions like, where did you get engaged? Maybe when they were writing those questions 20 years ago and there was no Facebook, maybe. Maybe. But now, that's the question might as well be, how much money do you want to steal from this person's bank account? How much do you want? Shit. What a load of nonsense. Oh, there you go. Velocette's listening live. Velocette. There's a shout-out for Velocette from the FART podcast. Yeah, Velocette, get this right. So I get home, and I haven't actually used this microphone since I moved into this new studio apartment that I'm in here in Niman, the trendy area of Chiang Mai. Got my little studio apartment here. Very nice. So I get my microphone out, and I search around for the cable. And because get this, man, when I was in Hanoi, I was staying in a guest house. And I bought this microphone. This is a Blue Yeti. I bought this in 2016. All right? I remember buying this. I had a full-time job at the time, but I was still doing my YouTube, and I was slowly trying to clean up the mess of Flat Earth. Anyway, so I bought this microphone. It's a Blue Yeti. I'm quite happy with it. I'm not proud of it. I mean, millions of people have one of these, at least thousands anyway. It's not something you're proud of, but, you know, you have an endearment towards your microphone. If you're, someone that, does a lot of recording. Then I've travelled all around Asia with this thing. I've been to Malaysia, Vietnam, and now Thailand. All over Thailand, too. Been like 10 flights with this microphone. So I like it. So I carried it around in the original packaging that I got it in, because it's very efficient packaging. The styrofoam, the cardboard, there's no extra space that they're taking up, as far as I'm concerned. It's nice, and I carry it around in the box. So anyway, I'm at this guest house in Hanoi, which is, of course, in the north of Vietnam. This is a few months ago. And I leave for the day. I think I go down to the cafe or whatever it is I was doing that day. Come home, and the plastic bottles that I've been drinking water from, someone's taken them. Okay, the cleaning lady has come and taken the bottles. And I think she might have even tidied up the bed as well. I always make my bed, but I think she might have tidied it. I'm like, all right, that's cool. Cleaning lady comes and does all that, no worries. Anyway, it occurs to me, the next day, she's thrown out the packaging of my microphone. Half of it, anyway. She's just thrown it out, the styrofoam parts. She's thrown it out. And I was like, hold on, I didn't ask this lady to come and clean my room. And, okay, fair enough, styrofoam looks like it might be rubbish. I get it. But the styrofoam was sitting right next to the box, and the box was right next to the microphone. What would have made her think? I'm like, oh, no, this is not good. So I go down a few flights of stairs. I go where the cleaning lady lives. And bear in mind, in Vietnam, most people can't speak any English, okay? In Thailand, some people can. In Malaysia, most of them can. It's great. In the Philippines, they almost all can. But in Vietnam, no. So all I know is about to happen. So I try and communicate with her through my little phone translate app. Yeah, she threw it out. She thought my styrofoam packaging was garbage. She threw it out. And there's no way to get it back. It's gone. So now I have to transport this microphone around in a towel. I just wrap it up in a towel. So that means it's hard to find the cable. Sometimes. Unless I wrap it in there in the towel. Which I guess I should do. Why not? So anyway, I find my little cable, and then I connect to the microphone, connect to my laptop, so I can chat with Guy. I want to see what he wants to chat about. Because the last time I spoke to him, he wanted to do this podcast paradise, stream all day. It was a pretty cool idea. I thought it was a cool idea. So that was the last I heard of him. The show didn't go on. I was set to do a show. I was happy to do the show. The show didn't seem to happen. Now, in fairness, this was in the middle of my Chiang Mai party fest. Okay, and I was quite happy to go and do other things, go and keep on carrying on like a pork chop, let's be honest. So it wasn't a big deal that the show didn't go on. I didn't take it as a personal affront. But I found it strange that Guy put so much time and effort into all of this, and then it apparently didn't happen. So I was looking forward. I thought maybe Guy just wanted to update me. Hey, here's what happened. Maybe we're going to do it again, or maybe you're going to be interested to know what actually happened. I've got a story for you. You know, whatever, just a casual chat. What I'm saying about right now happened 15 minutes ago, 15, 20 minutes ago. Today. Just before I jumped on the Fakeologist Discord server. So anyway, I'm like, all right. So I'm all connected. I jump into the guy, JLB, the guy at Discord, rather. And I see he's in a room, so I join the room. And there's a recording bot there. And I'm like, what the fuck? Get in, there's all this music playing. I'm like, what's going on here? Anyway, guy takes off the music. He's like, John, welcome to the show, or words to this effect. I'm like, are you recording this? He's like, yeah, everything's recorded now. I'm like, all right, whatever. So what's been going on? He then proceeds to tell me that, I asked him, you know, how was the whole thing with Rollo? You know, did Rollo live? That's the question, man. Inquiring minds want to know. And he's like, yeah, he lived. I'm like, that's good. That's good news. And I'm like, was it fun? Did you have a good time? And that's when he started his monologue. A monologue of a bizarre litany of grievances, the likes of which I haven't heard for a long, long time. And so I don't want to say too much more now. It's not my place to speak. I've only just heard this news. But it would seem that there is trouble in podcast paradise. A roller coaster, as it were. Now, I have to say, I don't think anybody could have predicted this. Like planes flying into a building. I don't think anyone could have seen this coming. But it would seem that things went a little bit pear-shaped in the land of the cheap booger sugar. So I will be waiting with bated breath to hear more information about all of this as the news comes to light. What exactly went down in Colombia over the past few weeks? Now, long-term Fakeologist listeners will be well aware that a few months ago, I happened to be in the beautiful city, Sin City, of Bangkok. I was there for 1 month. I tend to spend about 1 month or more in each venue or each city I visit. Bangkok was just for 1 month. And during that month, guess who else happened to be in the same vicinity? Oh, you wouldn't believe it. Rollo himself, the great man, was in town. Well, after years and years of Rollo telling me how much he can't wait to see me, can't wait to say g'day, Jono, in real life, I thought, man, this is perfect. I can just catch a bus, and then catch another bus, and then catch a train into Bangkok. Now, you might wonder, JLB, why would it take three different modes of transport? Because I'm an idiot, and I booked an Airbnb a long way from where I really wanted to be. And so that meant that transport was a bit of a pain in the backside. Although the good news is that to catch a grab home was like 200 baht, 10 bucks. I mean, if you've had a lot to drink or there's other extenuating circumstances, it's not that hard to get home. But during the day, anyway, the point of my story is I was happy to go into Bangkok. I was happy to meet Rollo, but I never heard from him. So I hope that Gaia, whether you had a good experience with Rollo or not, whether he wants to focus on the good or the bad, whatever the case might be, I hope he's at least grateful that Rollo took the time to come and see him. Because Lord knows, Lord Rollo knows, he didn't do that for me. And that's a fact. So it's come to 11 p.m. on the 11th of February 2020. Your main man JLB is struggling big time. Today is day 9 of sobriety. Yes, day 9 of sobriety. I'm feeling good about that. Everything's good, man. Getting lots of work done. Exercising every day. Eating pretty well. Not drinking. But this smoky season, man. What gets me is that people live like this. Now, they tell me that this has only become a bad problem in the last 3 or 4 years. It didn't used to be like this, which is fair enough. But it is like this now. So these people live like this. They live in this beautiful city. Nice and relaxed. It's got all the amenities you need. It's got everything you need. It's got all the food. It's got all the bars. It's got all the restaurants. It's got dentists, doctors. It's even got buses, man. It's big enough to have buses. It's nice and developed. But it's small enough. People are chilled out, man. People are cool. These beautiful people. And, yeah, they've got to live like this. Sad, sad shit. Sad, sad shit, man. They told me the same thing in Hanoi. Hanoi doesn't have this so-called 2.5 ppm, this really yucky particulate matter that's messing me up right now. They don't have... See, I'm struggling, man. They don't have this 2.5 problem, but they've got huge smog, which is in some ways just as bad. Hold on, here's that.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
Yeah, Hanoi doesn't have this, the same problem, but they've got massive smog problems, man. There's no way that's good for you. And they tell me the same thing. It's like, oh, it didn't used to be this way. It's only been the last few years it's been doing this. And I'm like, okay, but what's the trend here? The trend is getting worse, right?
Yep.
So what, just the whole city of people is going to get fucked up by this, by my language?
Well, it's not my problem, it's their problem. But that's the thing, they're helpless. What can they do about it? They can't do anything about it.
Can they?
Well, can they? I don't know.
So, do I have any other stories I wanted to tell you guys today?
Oh, yeah, one more thing. So, a couple of days ago, I was having a chat with this guy called ID Canspire. He's from Louisville, Kentucky, somewhere around there. And it was myself and a whole bunch of people at johnthebond.com on our server. We recorded a live stream, an impromptu live stream, chatting about all kinds of things. And ID happened to pop into the server. And we said, hey, let's ask you some questions, see where this goes. All right, very nice, happy days. It turns out that ID was actually on Fakeologist in 2014, episode 97. Can you believe that? So what I did was, I went and downloaded that episode, and I listened to it today while I was at the gym. And thank heavens they have an air purifier. They've got several air purifiers in the gym. Thank God for that. But the air conditioners are pretty ordinary, so it's very warm in there, but you know what, I'll take the heat over the smoky air any day of the week, twice on Sunday, goodness gracious me. So anyway, so I'm listening to this episode 97, ID makes his debut on Fakeologist, very well spoken, doesn't sound the slightest bit nervous on his first call, which is pretty full on, if you ask me. I remember my first call, I called into the Max Resistance Roundtable, wonder what happened to those guys. But oh yeah, I was nervous, that was the first time I called into a show, but no, he was cool as a cucumber, and very interesting, very insightful, very philosophical. Ab himself was saying, man, you're very philosophical. I mean, he doesn't really say the word man, but you get the idea. You're very philosophical. In fact, I learned a word listening to it. Metanoia, as in meta, as in meta element, and noia, as in paranoia. Metanoia, which is apparently, I don't have this in front of me, this is what they said, a Jungian term to describe when someone's ego or their worldview completely crashes because what they think they know and the evidence in the external world is so different, the only thing they can do is melt away. Let me see if that's what the computer says. I haven't looked this up. What does the computer say about metanoia? Sounds like a cool word, man. Okay, so the dictionary says change in one's way of life resulting from patience or spiritual conversion. Theology? Is that so? Let's take a look at this. This is from Wikipedia. Metanoia, a transliteration of the Greek, I can't read that, a transformative change of heart, especially a conversion. The term suggests repudiation, change of mind, repentance, and atonement. You have meddled with the forces of evil, Mr. Beale, and I won't have it, and you will atone. Am I getting through to you, Mr. Beale? But conversion and reformation may be approximate its connotation. So there you go. So in this episode 97 of Fakeologist, ID explained that he went through a metanoia when he realized that the world was not as he thought it was. Very interesting call. Episode 97, I recommend you go and check it out. I thought Ab did a terrific job, the interviewer. He can do it. He's a talented interviewer, Ab. Back then, he used to spend the first 5 or 10 minutes of the show doing the same monologue, every same. Like, the guest just has to sit there in silence while Ab says, this show's all about 9/11, and I used to believe, and I found that it's not real, and that's what we talk about here on this website, and it just keeps going on and on, every episode. I forgot they used to do that. Anyway, ID was very patient, and yeah, once the actual interview starts, yeah, Ab still asks questions, and keeps it moving, keeps it lively. It's a shame that we don't see more interviews by Ab. He's done his work, though. He's done enough. Still, for my own selfish reasons, I would like to hear more. And I'd be happy to pay for it. I'd be happy to pay a pretty penny for it. I pay for good value. I pay for good quality. All smart men do, in my opinion. But anyway, where was I? Oh, yes. Something came up towards the end, maybe with 30 minutes to go in the episode. ID asked, and remember, this is from 2014, friends. This is from 6 years ago, more than half a decade ago. ID asked the question. He says, what do you think about Pearl Harbor? And you know what Ab says? Yeah, it could be fake. It could be completely staged and no one died. And I'm like, what the hell is going on here? You mean to tell me 6 years ago, Ab had already worked out that, pardon me, Ab had already worked out that an entire attack could be fake. An entire central story of World War II could be a hoax. That's phenomenal. That's impressive. But how is it then that 5 or 6 years later, he still hasn't quite worked out that all of war is a hoax? You know, very strange to me. Because I'll tell you right now, man, you asked me in 2014 about Pearl Harbor, I still believe it. Why wouldn't I? I'd barely begun deprogramming by that stage. By that stage, I think I knew about standard Boston bombings, you know, the baby hoaxes. I probably still didn't even know about the moon landings. That's how little progress I had made at that time. So Ab knew that Pearl Harbor was a hoax back then? Wow. It's phenomenal, if you ask me. But anyway, I'm really struggling here. I'm going to check the live stream comments, and by live stream comments, personal. Thank you, Jerris, I appreciate it. And there's another comment there. That's interesting. That was Seth, who's apparently listening live, said all those Facebook find out your porn name things with your mother's maiden first pet is to gain access to your account. I could see people being stupid enough to fall for that as well. I can see large swathes being dumb enough to fall for it. They get this thing on their phone, and it's like, find out your porn name. And that little part of the brain, primate part of the brain, they have no control over. Yeah. I want to imagine that I'm a porn star. And that's how this trick works on them. It's putting their details. Your porn name is blah, blah, blah. And some shy has just got their login details. Very amusing. We live in bizarre times, though. We live in bizarre times. I'm not here to say that it was ever less bizarre, by the way. How the hell would I know? This time right now? Bizarre. Really bizarre. It's amusing, though. I find it more amusing sober. Can I say that? Today's day 9. By about day 7 or 8, I find myself just feeling happy and just laughing at shit more. So hopefully I can stick at this for a while. It's only been like I said, 9 days of sobriety, 10 days of trying to eat healthy and stuff. And already I'm feeling better, I'm looking better. My lifts are going up in the gym. It doesn't take much time to see massive improvements physically once you start being sensible. So hopefully I can stick for a while. But you never know. You never know. I've got 3 more weeks here in beautiful Chiang Mai. And then I go to Kuala Lumpur. I plan to spend 3 months. And then after that, who knows what the future might hold. Who knows what the future might hold for me, for you, for johnlebon.com, fakeologist.com, and all associated outlets. Questioning your reality, @blogspot. If you're out there questioning your reality, how you doing? Hope you're well. Very nice. I'm a fakeologist, a robot. We have more mail for Ab. Somebody wants to know, why does Jerris have such a... Thank you for your question. Jerris is a well-loved fakeologist from... He does have a very... But his English is actually quite good. If you pay attention to the words that he uses, we appreciate all members of fakeologist.com from all around the world. We appreciate the work that Jerris does as a moderator on the Discord very much. Thank you for your question, and if you would like to ask Ab a question, send your emails to imafakeologist@fakeologist.com. Good stuff. Whoever's behind that is very clever. You need to speed up the computer robot voice, though. I don't know what robot voice software or website uses. The one that I use gives you, I think, 3 speeds up and down. And so when I use it for the credits, because I use that for the credits of my member Discord calls, I set it to either +1 or +2 to speed it up. I think you should do this. Whoever you are that makes those videos, it's a little bit slow. I mean, no offense, but it's a bit boring. Like, 2 minutes isn't long, I know, but you need to keep people's attention. So if you speed it up just a little bit, it'll be more funny, more amusing. And if the software you're using doesn't have that facility, heaps of websites, you're a smart dude, you can find it. You'll find websites where you can speed it up. and make it better. But I guess if you've already got one voice, I get it. See if you can find a way to speed it up, though. So yeah, so anyway, in my call with ID from a few days ago, sometimes record episode 05. I'm fucking struggling here. Forgive my language. People live like this, man. Anyway, what was I saying? I typed in Google today, I typed in Chiang Mai air purifier rental. I want to see if I could just rent one. I'm not gonna spend fucking $200 on a fire, and then you can't take it with planes. So what are we gonna do? Just leave it here? Waste of money. So I was like, can I rent one? I'll happily rent one. You know what? I would almost pay $100 just to rent one. So and if I would, there's other people. That's like, what's that? $5 a day? Look, you don't want to pay that, but you will. So not wake up feeling like you're smoking cigarettes. That's what it's like. I woke up this morning, I'm like, what the f***? Like, oh, man. I was born in 87, so in Victoria, brought in new laws of smoking in licensed premises maybe 6 months after I turned in 18. So, like, the first few times I went out, you know, clubbing, the first few times I went out to, you know, go out drinking at licensed rooms, you can still smoke in there. And so, at the time, I wasn't smoking. At the time, I was like, smoking causes cancer, all that kind of stuff. But of course, everyone else is smoking. So you come out and you stink. The next morning, you wake up and you stink. And your throat's all messed up. And that was normal. They put up with that. Friday, Saturday night, that was normal. And then 6 months later, they changed the rules. Didn't do that anymore. Which I was like, oh, well, good for me, you know. I don't really wake up stinking. No, it doesn't cause me any problems. And anyway, when I woke up this morning, it was like being out all night at some venue wherever I was. It actually took my brain a few seconds to read. No, I wasn't drinking last night. I haven't had a drink in like 8 days. I was like, what the fuck? Ah, smoke is cool. Messed up. Because it's getting worse, guys. I don't think it gets worse from about January through to March. And that's when it really gets messed up. Getting progressive. First few weeks was okay. People were complaining, but I was like, no, it's not that bad. I've been in Hanoi. I didn't understand. They were talking about the small particulates you can't see. And I didn't understand, like, it'll get worse, but you won't know it hits you. It's not a visual thing, so there is a visual component. Visibility is getting lower and lower, but like I said, it's better visibility than Hanoi. But the effect it has on you, significantly worse. And, yes, the first few weeks I was here, it was sweet. That's why I decided to extend and stay here another month. My flight was originally to be 1 month after getting here. And then I was like, no, man, I love this place. I want to stay. So I went and extended my visa waiver, they call it. Paid the money. I changed my flight to a month from when it was supposed to be. Came and got this studio apartment. And I was like, woohoo, this is going to be great. And then within like 2 days, I started to hear, oh, no, what have I done? And, yeah, I think I made a big mistake. But, oh, well, is that the good or the bad? And I thought, but yeah, I'd probably be better off, like, sleeping on a table in a fucking Houston pool hall. I'm assuming they can smoke in there, right? So they can. You'd be better off smoking on a pool table in a Houston pool hall all night. You'd wake up feeling more fresh than sleeping in Chiang Mai some of you. And I'm exaggerating. And there's more to that as well. The beds here, solid as a rock, sleeping on concrete. So yeah, really it's no different. Imagine how you feel on a pool table. No balls on the table, okay? There are pockets. There's no sticks on the table, okay? So it's, and there's a pillow, okay? But all night, people are just smoking. All night. How do you think you'd wake up feeling? That's how I wake up feeling. Thank Christ I'm on drugs. That'd be a right real mess, mate. Goodness gracious me. Any other stories to tell you? Nah, that'll do. I think. Well, I'm glad I got to be part of Fakeologist Audio Chat 450. I like to come and visit for the milestone. I think I was there for 400. I'm pretty sure I was. I might have been there for 350 as well. And 300. I can't remember. I think I was there. For those of you who are wondering how John Lamont is going, great. As I said, we've seen ID, Cyrus, one of the Sync book authors, stopped by as well, and was on Ace sometime. I've moved away from the heavily post-produced to a less polished series that I call Sometimes, and I still do some editing, but not very much. And so in January, I managed to I managed to record 8. They've now all been released. Effectively, let's say that we're 6 weeks into this year. I'm averaging more than one call per week, which I'm pretty happy about. And so far, the discussions have been good. So if you are interested in listening to calls, you are aware of fakery. Some of them being in the game, cheap, like old man ideas, fire. And discussions that are a bit more esoteric, fakery. Yeah, they fake the stuff, but why? Maybe the sync books offer senses, those sorts of esoteric inquiries. Maybe some philosophy, some theosophy, some good old-fashioned overdoing on the Leos, as I do. A whole lot of stuff going on. So if you're interested, go and check out johnthebond.com. There's actually a...
If you want to encourage more audios like these, please go to Fakeologist.com and click the Patreon button under the Donate section. For $1.19 a month, you can call yourself a verified listener, and for $9.11 a month, a benefactor, who will get a shout out every time App does a show. Thank you for your support.
Good on all the people who are supporting Ab. This is something that came up in the call with Cam Spire. I said to him, man, what do you think about Fakeologists? How Fakeologists, you know, where do you see it right now? It's infested realology. You know, what do you think about it? And his response, man, it was, what's that? There's no wavering from, like, you know exactly what they're saying. Straight down the line, he's like, Fakeologists will be remembered in history as like a historical website for what he's done. And then he just reeled off like a praise for what this website has allowed. And I was glad that I heard that. I needed to be reminded. It's like, yeah, man, what Ada's done is sensational. And people like myself are, to a large degree, you know, on the shoulder of giants who have come before us that have paved the way in so many ways. Now, I feel like I'm also paving the way. I've moved beyond this toxic crabs in a bucket. Shills are coming to get us. We're so special because we know a cartoon playing for this toxic atmosphere of media fakery. I've moved beyond it. And this, you know, every other field in life will get recompensed for their time and effort, but not in there. Anyone who wants to make money from this is evil, call them names, all this bullshit. I've moved beyond all of that. I've paved the way. I'm blazing a trail now. I was only able to get onto this trail in so many ways thanks to people like Ab. So I was kind of glad that ID did point all those things out. Episode 5 of Sometimes Record, I needed a reminder. The thing is, I recorded that one after a bit too much, because I recorded that one a couple of weeks ago. I was in the middle of my little Chiang Mai agenda. So when I was editing it yesterday, I didn't even really remember it, to tell you the truth. So I'm like listening to it for the first time, if you can find a second, and just hoping that I didn't say anything stupid, which fortunately for the most part I didn't. I was a little bit pretty cool when someone's like interrupting too much. I was doing that, but I wasn't saying anything stupid. And some of my interruptions actually were reasonable. They kept the conversation going. But some of them were unnecessary, so it doesn't mean, oh, well. But yeah, I'm listening to this stuff. So I'm basically listening to ID for the first time yesterday, not 2 weeks ago, if you get what I'm trying to say. And, yeah, his praise for Ab was, I'm glad I heard it. I needed to hear it. And, yeah, Ab, if you're out there, I'm sure you are, you listen to this on replay or whatever, hey, man, you've done something very special with your website. Very special indeed. And it is a shame. I mean, it's sincerely. It's a shame some of the people who've come in, what they've done to it. Very bad atmosphere here. Not your fault directly, but I think indirectly, by letting these people come and cause problems, it drives away the good people and it attracts more bad people. And in this world, there are good and bad people. Okay? These are just online avatars. We don't know what these people are. Their online avatar, bad. Bad energy. And it's not good for fakeology. That's just my opinion. That's just my opinion. As someone who's been here now for 5 years. 5 years, can you believe that? So enough of all of it. Time for me to move on. Yeah, I've got a 2020 membership campaign at johnthebond.com. If you don't want to listen to the archives, and you don't want to pay for access to the archives, it's okay. And you don't want a monthly recurring membership, okay. There's a solution. A one-off payment gets you access to everything that is produced on johnthebond.com this year. This year alone. 2020 membership. One-off payment. So you don't have to worry about the monthly recurring subscription. Don't have to worry about the initial sign-up fee that you need to pay to get access to the archives. If you just want access to every episode of Sometimes Record that's been published so far this year, every episode that's coming from, plus any other content that I release during Get on board now. 2020 membership. Check it out at johnlebon.com. We'll see what the... Because lots of people say to me, oh, I don't like monthly recurring subscriptions, but I'm like, yeah, I understand, but that's just how it is. Now I'm saying, all right, let's try it. Those people who don't like monthly... Okay, I get it. Well, now there's an option. A single payment option. Get you access for the whole year. We'll see if people like it. We'll see if they don't. That's the thing about running one of these websites. You have to try things. I'm always trying. Some things work, some things don't. Eh, whatever. It's all a learning curve, isn't it? As is life. Wow, 32 years old. Sitting in a studio apartment here in beautiful Changi. Struggling to breathe.
Yeah.
Ah, well. You know, Bill Burr once said, supposedly, and I'm paraphrasing, the sentiment. Let me think. I think it is words to the effect of, don't worry about your life if you're 30 years old and you're waking up on a futon and you don't own anything. Because there are other guys your age, they're waking up next to a wife who doesn't love them, and they don't love her, and a bunch of noisy kids, and a bunch of debt, and they're wishing that they could just wake up on a futon and be... And I'm massively... I use the word paraphrasing in context. What I really mean is I'm putting his words into mine. So don't quote me and don't quote him. But it's like, yeah, you know what? I would love to have a family that loves me. And little children to raise them, teach them right from wrong, have fun with them, and watch them play with their little friends and be happy. Sit there on the beach reading a book while they're off swimming and building sandcastles and shit. That'd be nice. That'd be nice. And having a wife who loves you and is loyal to you and wants you to be successful and enjoys your successes, you enjoy hers, that'd be nice. That'd be beautiful. That'd be a wonderful thing. I'm sure some people like to have that. I'm sure they do. But I know for a fact there are some guys out there, they don't have that. They've got all the bad parts of that. They've got the wife and the kids in the house, don't worry. But all the good things, not so much. So I think to myself, well, listen, being all alone in this big bad world, where at the end of the day, I could shut myself in this studio apartment and no one would notice. No one would notice. You know, like a very lonely path I've forged for myself as I kid myself. It's got its good and its bad. The bad is the loneliness, especially when you've just come off a 5-day bender into the abyss. That's one of the bad things. But the good thing is freedom. I wake up tomorrow morning, I spend a couple of seconds thinking, what? Did I go out last night? Like, oh, no. Yeah, of course. In a few seconds go and rinse my mouth out with some bottled water, because you can't drink the tap water here. Another story. And then I'm free. I can do whatever the fuck I want. Tomorrow, the day after, the month after. So that's it, man. You trade freedom and commitment. Both come with their pros and their cons. I don't know. It's all about perspective. All about perspective. Well, that's enough from a very philosophical, not philosophical at all. You should listen to Old Mate Campfire on episode 97. I recommend you go and check it out. Fakeologist episode 97 with ID Campfire. There's some philosophy for you, man. There's some philosophy. There's lots of philosophy. Go and check that. That's enough for me. So episode 450 of Fakeologist.com. Thanks once again for Fakeologist. And thanks once again to AdFlip. It's done with this website over the years. I selfishly hope he'll get back into it. If he doesn't, I think we can all agree he's done more than his fair share to facilitate good conversations. If you like good conversations, the place to be right now is johnlebon.com. There is a paywall in place that keeps out all the flotsam, the detritus, the human trash, as I call them. And you keep out the trash and you attract the good people. And my website is now far more active than Hoaxbusters call Fakeologist. And I mean that not as a brag or criticism of the other outlets. I'm just, when you put in the paywall, it keeps out the bad, which attracts more people. Seems counterintuitive. It's like, no, if you make people pay, you'll get less people. No. If you make people pay, you'll get more people. Because then you get rid of the shit people, and they're the ones repelling the good people, you see. Seems counterintuitive, doesn't it? But mine is a case study. And just as I was giving him all kinds of praise and compliments, guess who just popped into the room? You wouldn't believe it.
Johnny, you came in during business hours. It's terrific. Now I can... have a chat. How are you, Johnny? I think I heard some...
I'm good. I was just saying my goodbyes. I'll just say my goodbyes. But I'm happy to stick around if you're here. Chat with you.
Thank you, Johnny. Thank you very much.
I think this is my first appearance on Fakeologist in the year 2020. I could be wrong about that, but I think it might be.
It might be. I'm not sure. I wanted to find out what you had to say about the grand website, Fakeologist.com, on your latest chat, but I can't log into your site anymore. I think my membership has expired.
Well, what I'll do is I'll send you direct MP3 for my chat with Campfire. because he had some very nice things to say about
you. About me?
Yeah, about you specifically and your website more.
Very nice.
Mm.
Very nice.
Because you
nice
interviewed him in 2014. Do you remember this? Oh. Episode 97.
Yeah, I probably did. We're getting back into ancient history now. But yes, I'm sure. Interesting.
So I listened to that call today, man. Today I was listening to a call featuring you and Canspire.
And how was it? Was it any good?
It was terrific.
I don't remember. Oh, thank you, Johnny.
Yeah, but I noticed a couple of things. Firstly, back then, you used to spend the first 5 or 10 minutes of every call putting your guest on mute and going over the same introduction. Yeah, this is Psychologist. Yeah. We focus on 9/11.
That's same cool. thing. That's called psychic driving. Have to get the message home.
Yeah, it's very amusing to me.
That's probably the same thing, although people can fast forward over that if they don't like it, but yeah. That's
yeah, I forgot you used to do that, so I didn't fast forward, and then it occurred to me after like 5 minutes.
I forgot I used to do that. I forgot that, too. You just reminded me. It's been a long time since I've been doing a regular broadcast, and I just do these casual audio chats, which are much more casual and allows me not to keep a schedule, which is, I appreciate that as well.
Yeah, for sure. So you did your introduction, and then you had a chat with him. It was a fantastic chat. He was, back then and still now, obviously, very switched on guy. Very well spoken, very articulate, thoughtful. Very philosophical, yeah. As you put it.
Yeah, he's definitely different, a different person, but I find everyone has a different bent that comes through the website. Everyone is slightly off the normal spectrum that comes. Some more abnormal than others.
Well, one of the things that stood out to me was how different he sounded cool with you. He sounded much more matter-of-fact and serious. Whereas if you listen to him in the latest Sometimes Record episode, he's a lot more jovial, jokey, more like, let's just enjoy life. Is kind of the vibe I get from him now. Whereas
well,
6 years
older.
Ago, he was...
Yeah.
That could be it, yeah.
Yeah, we're all older now. I'm less... I'm not stressed at all. I probably wasn't even stressed back then, but when you know that almost every major media story in the world is got some hoax element or it's completely a hoax, it's easy to relax and not be so worried, stressed out, as I know you've come to realize easily.
Well, I'm getting there slowly. I still worry about things I shouldn't worry about, but that's my problem, not yours. Now, one other thing came up by it. He asked you, what do you think about Pearl Harbor?
Yeah, well...
Do you remember what you said? Well, do you know what your thoughts were 6 years ago about Pearl Harbor?
Probably the same as now, but go ahead, tell me.
You said it could be a complete hoax, could be completely staged.
Yeah, well, yeah, I would agree with that to this day.
Yeah, well, obviously, like we know now, obviously the whole thing was a hoax. I couldn't get over the fact that you had already worked that out 6 years ago.
Well, that was my default position. I only probably said that because I had not actually reviewed the story. I've been to Pearl Harbor. I know the official story, but I never actually officially reviewed it from a fakery point of view, so that's why I said Pearl Harbor.
Ah, you've been to Pearl Harbor. Do they do, like, daily tours and make money from this? Yep.
Yeah.
Of course they do.
Yes, I've been there. That was part of my Hawaii trip during my honeymoon, which was 27 years ago. My God, that's a long time, Johnny.
Ah, good. I'm going to need that information when I try and log into your bank. Do you know they ask these questions? Where were you when you got engaged?
Yeah.
And where was your honeymoon?
Pearl Harbor. Yeah, that's not one of my secret questions, I don't think.
I don't know if you heard my anecdote earlier, but my bank was literally trying to make my own bank account less secure. They wouldn't let me transfer my own money unless I made my own bank account less secure. Like, that literally was what happened. And I'm like, you can see where I'm trying to transfer the money. It's to my bank. Look, that's my name. This is not some kind of scam here.
It could have been someone else using your name. That's the problem.
Fine. If it's someone else using my name, they're just moving my own money around my own bank account.
I know, but they might have got access to that other account. I can see where they'd be careful.
Big surprise. Fakeologist taking the contrarian position. No, here's the thing. I've used that same while I've been overseas for 12 months. They've never given me this stupid problem. Now suddenly they're causing
the problem. Banks have lots of problems with their security, and we have email transfers here, and a woman over here in Canada, if you believe the story, her bank pass card was stolen, and somebody used her pass card and PIN to get money out. And they said, well, nobody could get your PIN except you, so we're not giving you the money back. They held her liable. She was out a couple $1,000. But luckily, you're only allowed to take maybe $1,000 out of your bank account if you have more than that. So they can't.
Bro, I was moving like $70. That's the other funny thing. I was only moving like $70.
Yeah, that's a little low. That doesn't really meet a threshold of any consequence.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's absurd.
It's better for them to be careful. I'll give them that much. It should be difficult to just move money around because, of course, money is just electronic numbers on a computer, so it can move quickly, and once it's gone, it's gone.
Well, that's the dumbest part of all of this. It's all make-believe money anyway.
Well, you still need it, though, and it buys real stuff.
Yeah, I know I needed it. That's why I had to call him up on Skype.
Yeah.
Okay, listen.
Can I please
access my money?
Yeah.
They're like, sure, you can access your money. You just need to answer these. You just need to put these secret questions on your thing. And I'm like, okay, what are the questions? And I'm like, those aren't secrets. Those aren't secrets, sweetheart.
I can't even change my cell phone plan. They wanted my birthday, everything. 10 things. God, how many more questions you guys got to ask me? All I want to do is pay you more money. But yeah, they were drilling me like I was a convict.
It's crazy stuff,
yeah.
Man. So anyway, so what was I saying?
Yeah,
oh, yeah, so, you know, here's why it was interesting to me that you knew about Pearl Harbor, because, as you know, I believe that war is a hoax, okay? And from the moment that I worked out that nuclear bombs are a hoax and V2 rockets are a hoax, it didn't take me that long to realize that all of war. Now,
right.
Yourself, on the other hand, you worked out that Pearl Harbor was a hoax, but 5 years later, perhaps you still haven't come to all of war being a hoax. So I just find this process of moving from the micro to the macro and the length of time it takes, fascinating to say the least. Like, you were years ahead of where Pearl Harbor was hoax, but you still don't believe war is hoax. Whereas me, I had no idea about Pearl Harbor. In fact, I hadn't even really thought about it until today. And I was like, of course that's a freaking hoax. You know what I mean? Like, that goes without saying, doesn't it? They could fake the whole thing. It's a little island, or a little set of islands. That's a perfect place to stage a hoax, isn't it? Perfect. Perfect.
Yeah. Yes, yes. Well, yeah, there's lots of great places to do hoaxes. The hoaxes are anywhere isolated is a good place, yeah. Anywhere where people can't just run into a situation. But even in a major center, they can block off the downtown of any major city easily. Just call it a drill, call it whatever you want, a movie shoot. Movies are easy. In Toronto, we do a lot of movies because our dollars, like your Australian dollar, is so weak. So the Americans can just drive over and shoot a movie at 35% off. And, yeah, they close areas and streets all the time. What's the difference between a movie and a drill or a hoax? Nothing. There's no difference. Same cones, same security, same cops can be used to stage an event. Very easy to do.
It's easy to hoax the masses, man. You show the masses a bunch of cardboard, sticky tape, aluminium foil, and curtain rods, and you tell them it went to the moon? So long as you are the government, they'll believe. The masses are dumb as... They're not very bright people. Not very bright.
Well, either that or they don't care. They don't actually care. I've talked to lots of people that don't care if the moon event was a hoax. They actually don't care about that.
Isn't that just an indication they're not very bright, though? It's like, okay, but your government is saying they did do it. So these are the people who you think take your money, think make the law. They're telling you they put this thing on the moon. It's kind of a big deal.
Well, my biggest problem with... the latest hoax, that it came up again in my mind, because we're told that a father stole his, or had his daughter out on a custody visit, and then he threw her off a cliff, and then threw himself off a cliff, and killed himself and his daughter. And if that's a phony event, which I'm suspicious of, if that's phony, then the police are somewhat complicit, because they're announcing this as a real event. I haven't really gone over the police count just yet, but my biggest problem is the police are actively engaging in a lie. This is extremely troubling, because if we can't trust the police, the people that have deadly force at their fingertips, then we have a real big problem, I think. That's my biggest concern about some parts of society taking place in focus. I don't really care about the mayor lying and... Well, the mayor lying is a problem too, but people that have access to deadly force that are participating in a hoax, that's very troubling to me. because that's really close to home. So the guy that pulls me over is part of a group of people that actively participate in lying. That is the glue, some of the glue that holds an orderly society together, I think, the police.
Well, speaking of glue and speaking of mayors, I know there's one thing that really pisses you off, and that is when mayors tend to be Saturday Night Live comedians or SNL comedians pretend to be mayors. That's something that really grinds your gears,
that's really,
I understand.
That's really stupid because it's just a stupid thing to say. And there are lots of people that look alike. I just watched a video by a guy who just made a comment on my blog for the first time, who has a website or has a channel or a YouTube channel or a 153net channel. He did a pretty good expose on fake courtrooms and how some law firms, big law firms, own fake courtrooms so they can drill and test their own lawyers. And he went and did a pretty good expose on how they're fake courts and they're used to stage mock trials, kangaroo courts, pony trials, show trials. But then he goes and says that a particular white extremist who was convicted 10, 15 years ago in the U.S., I don't really remember the case, but he went on to say that this guy, and he looked up people with the same name in the United States and found their pictures online and said, this guy's that guy. And again, he ruined all his research because his initial point about fake courtrooms has got to be true. That's definitely very believable. But when he says that this fat white guy is this fat white guy, and there's lots of fat white guys. As a matter of fact, almost everyone is fat in North America, and a lot of white guys. So say this one looks like this one just because they have the same name, and it sort of spoils the whole thing. And luckily, another commenter on the website did the same thing. He said, great research, but that guy, that's that white guy that you said is this fat white guy, they're not the same guy. Yeah, they have the same name, totally plausible, but it's not the same guy, so don't say that. It's too obvious that it's a straw man, and if you don't see it's a straw man, then maybe you're feeding disinformation intentionally.
So. Yeah, this is my issue, though, when you call it disinfo, because that implies that someone intentionally lying.
I know it does. Well, if they can't see something obvious that this person is not that person, for instance, our buddy Frank from Geelong, who says this person, Jodie Foster, is your old prime minister because they're both white.
Jodie Foster is Julia Gillard.
Yeah, I don't really know Julia Gillard because she's not in my media like she would be or would have been in yours. But that is an absurd statement, just prima facie, just looking at it. I don't have to look at her ears, her nose, any of that crap. It's not the same person. They're just white women with red hair, of which there are millions in the world. And a lot of redheads, they can look similar, just like because they stand out on their own already, because there are very few redheads, for the most part, I've ever seen. It's like,
yeah, but again, coming back to this disinfo accusation, yeah. It's like, okay, obviously war is a hoax. But all the people who say that, nah, maybe some people die, I'm disinfo, I'm like, okay, we disagree. You don't see what I see, no problem. I don't have to accuse people of intentionally lying. You know what I mean? I don't think you're lying.
Okay, well, when it comes, if you are saying it, you are a smart person. We are.
Like, to me, it's so obvious that war is a hoax. Like, to me now, it's more obvious that war is a hoax than Sandy Hook is a hoax at this point.
Right. But what I'm saying is, if it comes from you, you're a smart person. Frank, smart person. IPS, very smart person. When they say that, and it's obvious to another smart person that it's completely absurd, then we must question, what is the motivation for saying that? Because it is, on its face, ridiculous.
Rob but some people Ford, think the train investigation
mayor,
is on its face.
No, but I don't necessarily say that, and I don't repeat it over and over again, that so-and-so is a man or a woman. I never said that every broadcast, that so-and-so is a woman. I am only presenting it as a possibility that there is technology where we can take fetuses and alter or suppress their natural sex. And we can take these people and manipulate them in future life because we have controlled them since the beginning, just biologically, and then physically we control them. I've only entertained it. I don't repeat it over and over again. I just say, listen, if this guy's entertaining, he has a good way of showing things, but I am not saying for sure or endorsing it. So there's a difference between that and just entertaining the thought, because I think it's bizarre, it's interesting, it's possible, but I would never say for sure that Rob Ford is Chris Farley. That is prima facie stupid. Because Rob
sure, Ford, but you did go on Humble and Fred. You did go on Humble and Fred, Canada's favorite, Toronto's favorite internet satellite breakfast radio show. Hey, can I say something? There's someone out there. I'm sure he's going to listen to this. I'm sure he's going to listen to this. I forget his name. Is it Not So Freemason? I think it was him. The guy who called in when you were on Humble and Fred. How funny was his response? How funny was his response when they're like, hey, are you listening? And he's, I can't remember exactly what he said, but it was like, oh, sure, I'm one of your biggest fans. I've never heard of you.
Yeah, it was funny.
The deadpan delivery, it gets me every time.
Sometimes if you're a guest, he only was interested because I made, or he heard that I was associated with an outrageous statement. If he wanted to talk about 9/11, which is what I wanted to talk about, he wouldn't have brought me on. He took a hook, and he has a show that's supposed to be a comedy show, and he wanted to make it entertaining. So it's only entertaining if you take an absurd premise that so-and-so is a woman and mock it endlessly, and that makes it funny.
And now we're getting somewhere, Ab. Now we're getting somewhere because you IPS is doing, and he's doing all of this person X, this person Y stuff, which maybe I don't agree with all of it. You don't agree with any of it, apparently. Fair enough. But this is what people find interesting right now. Like, the conspiracy subculture goes through waves. In media fakery, right now, there's a PXPY wave of, that is the wave right now. If he's entertaining it, if he's sharing these ideas, because when I spoke to him twice now, and I said to him point blank in the second call, do you actually believe this? And he didn't answer directly with a yes. That's like an implicit, it's like an implicit, I don't say admission because it makes it sound, what he's basically saying is, no, I'm not trying to tell you the person is a person. This is an idea that he's exploring. And he's an entertainer, and so am I. We're entertainers. People won't listen if they're boring. That's the
fact. Yeah, you're right. You're right. So, well, okay, that's different if he's just using it as a hook. I wasn't using mine as a hook. He picked it out of the many, many things on my menu that I talk about and grabbed it. And he took it like a wild dog and shook it and ripped it to shreds right in front of me. I'm saying, okay, it is kind of funny, but can we talk about 9/11? But no, he didn't want any of that. But he has his own agenda. He's blocked me, that guy, because I've pointed out all the media fakery and hoaxes in subsequent years. And he just said, I don't want to talk to you anymore, and he's blocked me. So I'm totally blacklisted, and I even gave his show a few bucks there to pay for their little washroom in the basement with my I'm a Fakeologist name on the wall. He's totally blocked me, so.
But you've got your name on their wall in the washroom.
For donations, yeah.
How much do you have to donate to get that?
That was $100, I think.
Holy shit, and they blocked you.
Yeah, but,
I've only had to cancel two people from my website, and I gave them both back their money. I think that's the right thing.
Well, that's good. I had one donor that was accusing me of stealing his money, and he gave me a donation, a willing donation. So I don't see how if someone donates money with no strings attached or no promises implied, because when you donate to me, I don't say I'm going to do 10 shows a week. It's just an open donation or service for content rendered. There's no promise of performance, so there's no warranties. Therefore, no refund required. But I just wanted to get this person out of my hair. I just found the easy-to-find refund button on PayPal and just clicked it and told them to get lost. Do not bother me again. And that goes for anybody. Do not give me any money if you think there's a warranty or an implied service to be rendered in the future. It's just strictly, I like the show, I was entertained, or I like the website, I wouldn't mind defraying the cost. Here's a few coffee donations. That's all it's there for. And some people want to donate because they have no other way to participate in their mind. That's what I do. But I treat, if I get entertainment value or I get value on the site, I really like the value for value model. So that's why I do contribute. And you should listen to the No Agenda Show coming up in the next week or two when they get my annual donation from last year. Because I wanted to wait till their donations died down, which they have not. These guys are going gangbusters. They make $10,000 a week. You should hear my donation and my little blurb about...
I'm sure you'll clip it out. I'll listen to the... I don't want to listen to the rest of their nonsense. And that's the thing, dude. You find them entertaining, right? Even though you know... You find them entertaining. You even give them money. Now, what is the problem with that?
They give me a lot of ideas for my own...
There you go. There you go. So what's the problem with that?
There's no problem, and I don't mind value for value. And I
well, maybe that's what IPS is doing. Maybe IPS is using person X as person Y as a thought experiment.
That's fine, except that the one he is using, I don't like specifically because I've never met the mayor, but I've watched.
Why did you vote for him? Are you a Rob Ford voter? Is that what this all comes down?
I
don't like it because it hurts your feelings because you're a Rob Ford fan.
Because I wasn't in the. I don't live in the city proper. I live outside, so I would have voted for him for sure. But I watched him for too long to know that he's not somebody else. But what that also does is take any conspiracy-related talk around Rob Ford and rail or channel it into something stupid. Because, as you know, my contention is the Ford family, a very rich political family in Toronto, made a deal where they were going to step aside from the mayor race. Because Rob Ford would have won again and let a blue blood in who couldn't win dog catcher by default. And that's what they did in exchange for another office, which is letting Rob Ford's brother run the province, or state, as it would be in Australia, which is a very powerful role. He controls a $12 billion budget, which is bigger than a lot of countries, and that's tremendous. It might even be more. It might be $50 billion.
So that's all like saying, oh, if you say that Rob Ford is Chris Farley, that ruins all conspiracies about Rob Ford. That's like saying that if you interview a flat earther, that ruins all discussions about how NASA's a hoax. You know, the same thing.
Well, yes, and I see that argument. I do see that argument. It does defray.
Well, you were the first guy to interview Mark Sargent, Mr.
And that,
Flatter of Fools, Part
guy.
1, MD Theater. That was you. You were the first one, number one, of all people.
Fakeologist.com,
Mark Sargent.
First one to pick up the phone and call. So that is another bit of a red herring that you are propagating.
It's not a red herring. It's true. You're literally the first one. I'm not exaggerating at all.
You're dwelling upon it like it's a negative thing that should be used against.
Well, I don't think it is. I think it's fantastic that you spoke to him. And I spoke to him with you a few weeks after that. So I'm grateful for it. The point I'm making is, if you're going to say, oh, this person says person is this person Y, so therefore they're intentionally lying.
I don't think they're linked. I don't think you can make the comparison.
I don't think you're disinfo. And even the parts of what you say that I disagree with, I don't think you're lying. That's your honest opinion.
Yeah,
so
it is my honest opinion. Well, you know me longer, and I have a longer track record, I think, anyway. So that's the main thing I don't like. And the KMB guy is just having that guy on all the time. And ITS, by the way,
who's
I haven't
that?
Posted an audio in weeks.
Who's,
so
who's
I don't
KMB?
Know what he's talking about later. KMB is a YouTube channel, and he's.
Oh, Cam. Sorry, KMB. Yeah, that dude is.
I know. He's some black dude in the U.S. who constantly says this person, that person. And he is. He's taking the incredulity to new heights. He's completely ridiculous.
I just want to know, is it like parody, do you know what I mean? Like at that point.
Yeah. It's a parody. Yeah, it may as well be. That's annoying to listen to. Well,
you don't have to listen to it, though. That's the thing, man. Like, if you still believe there's a truth movement or a research community, okay.
I listen to people that talk the information I like. And IPS is very good at talking. Is a very good show, and he does say 90% of the stuff that I agree with. It's just, it's important for me if I'm going to say I listen to IPS that I criticize what I don't like, so you don't confuse me with endorsing everything he says. So I'm pointing it out that person A is person B is ridiculous. That's what I'm pointing out. But everything else that I've heard is spot on. So with that grain of salt, listen to him. And I'm a patron of his as well, because I want to hear more of his stuff. And he is the best talker about the PSYOP industrial complex. And they're just bar none. Well, there you go. It's important to say, it's an important endorsement. I'm giving him an endorsement. I've posted lots of links to his stuff. But I'm also saying I'm not endorsing the stupid idea of Chris Farley, another one white fat guy, looks like Rob Ford, who is probably just hanging out in his mansion, not even 10 miles away from me right now.
All right, fair enough. What about Justin Bieber in the weekend, though? That Bieber in the
Well, I only told my children about it because I don't care about Justin Bieber, and I don't care about the weekend. I've mentioned it to them, and they thought it was stupid. So that's as much research as I'm going to do on that because I don't care about that one. So all the other ones that are not close to home, I don't care about. And if he wants to say A is B and B is A, then I'm not going to argue with it because I don't.
How about Bruce Lee and Michio Kaku?
No, I don't. I don't know. There's none of them that are convincing at all. Michio Kaku was just a. I think he should be saying that astrophysicism is just a form of mysticism. In other words, it's total bullshit. Just because they use the word astro, which is space, physics, you know, which is a subject I hated because it was too far out for me to understand or comprehend or even want to accept, even back in the day. I thought it was ridiculous, most physics ideas, a lot of physics.
All right, so check this out. You know that we've got on my Discord channel for person X is person Y, right?
Okay.
Today, somebody posted Neil deGrasse Tyson, and the general director of the World Health Organization is this guy called Dr. Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus, right? It's a very hard name to pronounce.
Never heard of that person.
Neither had I. You look at these two guys side by side, and holy shit, they're separated at birth, okay? Now, anyone who's listening, just Google World Health Organization General Director. It'll come up with this Dr. Tedros guy. Now, if you look at these two people and you say to me that you can't see similarity, I call you a liar. They're clearly similar. Now, does that mean that they're the same person? No. But why is like the big scientist that everybody knows and the chief director of WHO, why do they look so similar? If the joke isn't that they've got the same playing the same people, maybe the joke is they get people to look similar.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? There's well,
why do
joke
all the actors look very similar? Because there's a certain look that works in acting. Why do all the scientists look crazy? Why do they all have shocks of hair like they just were playing with an electrical receptor?
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
You don't have free will. You have the appearance of free will.
Because certain looks work and resonate with people. That's the main reason.
Mm-hmm. And it could be it.
I think.
Well, mate, it's midnight. It's midnight here where I am. So
sorry,
I could be on
man.
Sleep. But
okay,
it's good to talk to you. Hopefully
my
we can have a more...
Hey,
why don't you... You should join us on an episode of Sometime Record Sometime. We'll have you as a special guest. We'll book it in. What do you reckon?
I'm happy as long as it's in a time slot that I can carve out without interruption, yeah.
Yeah, we'll organize something for the next couple of weeks. I'll send you an email.
My favorite time is Saturday. Usually Saturday morning is the only time in this time zone where I have an uninterrupted 3 hours. It's a very long run that I do. Everything else is interrupted by millions.
What's the time there right now? What's the time where you are right now?
It is 12 noon on 2/11/20.
Oh, good. No, it's a perfect 12 hours gap. So it would be a good time in the morning for you on a Saturday.
5 a.m. It's 5 p.m. your time, I guess, by deduction.
Yeah, man. Well, we'll sort something out for a Saturday, 5 p.m. my time. That'll be Australians will be able to join us. Some Americans, not many, will be.
No, not many. Most Americans.
I think we get a few people that'd be interested, and I think a lot of people want to say to you, Ab, we love what you do. We think you're great, but all of this anti-PXPY stuff, man. But kind of back, man.
Actually, there's not all this. There's one aspect of his research. Not all this. Don't exaggerate, Johnny.
you're the one who goes on about this all the time. It's this info. It's this. You even left a comment on my website. I thought it was a great call with IPS. We covered lots of topics. And we get a comment from Fakeologist, which is a great privilege and honor. And what does the comment say? This guy's disinfo. And I'm like, Ab, mate, come on, mate. What is this? What are you doing, mate?
I said that information is disinfo. He's disinfo. Is bullshit. No, that's a totally different statement.
That implies that he's intentionally lying, though.
No.
You know what I mean?
We have to get a clarification then from him.
Well, we're going to get you on board. There's sometimes recorded episode of johnabond.com to clarify this.
Yeah. By the way, should I keep trying to log in or is my login inactive? Because
I thought your login was valid until the end of March. So usually
my login
one or 3 month
valid
blocks.
Until the end of time. You told me I was an end of time.
I've had you on in my own mind. I've had you on probation for a while because I don't like all of this negativity.
All right. Well, I haven't put. Can you let me know when I'm on probation on your site so I can limit your access to mine?
That's I'm going to have a hard time logging into Fakeologist.com, won't I? Where it's open season. And I keep telling you, man, listen, you might think, if I put a paywall up, we'll have less people. The opposite happens, because it gets rid of the crap people, and then the good people come out of the woodworks. There's lots of good people out there.
Well, the
they just don't want to mix with the trash. They don't want to mix with the human trash.
You are making a living doing it, and I am not. I am not going to give the time.
No, I'm saying you should put in the paywall, not for the money you need to improve your website. The money is ancillary. The main benefit is it gets rid of the trash. And then the good people, there's good people, they don't want to have a chat with someone who in 5 minutes will accuse them of being a paid show. No good person wants to put up with this paranoid, delusional nonsense. So if you just put in a small paywall, it gets rid of the trash, and then the good people will come. I'm telling you. My Discord and my website are more active than yours. Why is that? It's because the trash are gone. It's because I kick the trash to the curb. The good people come out. They want to hang out with
everyone. How many honorary members are in that Discord?
Honorary members.
Don't pay like.
Not. Maybe. Oh, look, if you include people who I gave access so I could interview on my Discord, maybe 10 or 15 tops.
Oh, okay. Because I would have to make so many people honorary members to get in because so many people contribute so much without money that I would have to really be careful. And even people that you disagree with, I think they've made such great contributions over the years. Maybe not. Maybe recently they might have gone a little extreme. But that's...
There's another solution. You could let them all stay on the server as they are and then create new channels for the financial contributors.
Yeah.
And so you wouldn't have to kick anyone out. Just create a new area where the financial contributors go and no trash will get in. Probably the any filter in anything you do is going to either let in too much crap or keep out too much crap. And finding that balance isn't easy.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to explain to you and to all of your listeners who might be thinking one day of setting their own website.
Do you think I should do that to the website or just the Discord or both?
Well, you could trial it with one and then try the other. But the point I'm trying to make to you, Abby, is if I have as many supporters as I have, I'm willing to bet you probably have that number, if not more, because you've been doing this for so long. Right?
Yeah.
And you're not as objectionable a character. My persona, some people just hate it. I understand. Whereas I don't think many people would hate you. So there's probably all these people out there who would love to be more active on your website or your server. They just don't want to put up paranoid, delusional retards, man. And there's several of them who just cause problems. Who wants to hang out with people who cause problems? Someone who walks up to you and you've never done anything to the person and they accuse you of all these things, that's not a good person. That's human trash. It's not normal. It's not healthy. The only place that's accepted is in conspiracy subculture. And that keeps
that
good people.
That reminds me of Negan Tropic. He is, he's like that with almost everyone, yet he's on your site. Wonder why.
Well, has he caused you any problems on my website? I don't think so.
Not me particularly.
The only criticism he makes of you, and he makes the same criticism. Get this on my own website. You know what he says about me? He says that I'm running a damage control. This is a comment he left on my website. He says that I'm running a damage control operation for the chosen people. Right? Me.
Yeah,
you understand?
Yeah, I know.
That's just
well,
how
why
he is.
On your site, then? Did he pay
That's just
or
how
he
is.
Honorary member?
No, because he's been, even before I started the membership section of the website, he was supporting what I was doing. On my Patreon, back when I used to have one of those, and he promotes my website elsewhere. And he's been on a couple of podcasts with me. So he does good things. There's just this one little area where he's a little bit obstinate, which I'm happy to overlook. Same with IPS.
Yeah.
He says things that I don't agree with. No
and
big deal.
I overlook IPS's transgressions as well.
Now, contrast that with the people who all they do is cause problems. There's no good, it's just problems. They're the bad people I'm talking about. And those people wouldn't pay $5 a month. That's all you would need is a $5 a month paywall.
Jairus is pretty good. He boots off people that are causing constant disruptions as well. So.
By disruptions, I mean even just people who accuse each other of being shill. To accuse someone of being shill is to accuse them of being a fraud and a liar and all of their work is being evil. Basically calling them a witch. No good person wants to be called a witch everywhere they go. Every time you release a video, oh, that guy's a witch. This video of his is a witch. This is witchcraft. That's what they're saying when they call you a shill. No good person wants to put up with this crap. No good person. That's the point I'm trying to make. But listen, it's your website and you've done a very good thing with the website, so I'm not... I'm giving you my impression of what I would do if I were you. And I'm telling you'll have more success.
You've voiced it many times. I appreciate it.
Yeah. But I have to go, man. But it was nice talking to you. Maybe we can do this again soon. I'll send you an email.
Yeah. Send me a heads up when you're coming on. Give me a warning and I'll and I'll try and...
Bro, we'll probably check this out. Tonight was an impromptu thing, because I was meant to be talking with Gaia. I came home and started chatting with him, and all he wanted to do was just sit there and go on this, this monologue, this litany of grievances against Rollo. And I'm like, Gaia, don't air your dirty laundry to me. You know what I mean?
Is he dumping on Rollo after Rollo just embarked on a Gaia?
That's what it seems like to me. So, like I said, after like 5 minutes, I was like, Rollo, I was like, I'm out of here, man. This is bizarre stuff.
Oh, you know that's mean? Terrible. I'm always like Rollo, no matter how drunk he gets. But he's always been a great guy to me.
Yeah, but you've never had him in your house, though, for a couple of weeks.
I would never let him in my house.
See, there you go. So it's a guy, apparently.
And I've already told Rollo, do not come to Toronto, because you will not come to my house. No offense, Rollo, but I like you as a phone friend.
Yeah, I completely understand what you're saying. I would have been happy to meet up with him in a sky bar in Bangkok, though. Because then, like, he's not really my problem.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I would meet him in a restaurant for sure. Yeah. He's not coming over. Nobody. I would invite almost nobody over.
Yeah. Well, when I get to the great shores of Ontario, Canada, hopefully I can come for a truck ride with you. If Hoi Polloi gets to do that, that's the least you can do for me by
Kalaki. Yes, I would allow that. Yes. You're welcome.
We can wake up at 3:30 in the morning to go for a truck ride. 3:30 in the... I'll just stay up all night. Good point. 3:30 in the morning.
I'd welcome that. We could hang out.
All right, good. Okay, well, I'm going to reinstate your membership then.
Say that again?
You get until the end of 2020 now. All right, you're back. You're back on johnthebond.com. Thank God. He's back. I'm going to extend it out to the end of December. Back on board. But man, I got to go.
Are you going to send me the John LeBond audio chat?
Well, firstly, listen, no jokes. You should still be able to access it. I'm pretty sure you were set to expire in March or April, one of the two. So you should still be able to access it.
I couldn't get in. I tried so many times.
No, go on over these things. All right.
Your site always asks me to do a math question, which I hate.
Most of them are pretty easy. You're a smart dude. Shouldn't be that hard for you. All right. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to send you a link to episode 5 right now. The direct end problems for you. And then we can sort out the membership thing. The smoky season here, man. I think this smoke actually does mess up your brain, man. I'm struggling.
Nobody should inhale any smoke into their lungs, whether it be legal or not. It's not good.
Now, you understand, in this part of Asia, there's fires every season. So everyone has a bit of shit in. If you're outside, you've got no way to escape. So let's have a look here. Content. Let's go to episode 5. More. Link. Because if I don't do it now, I'll just forget. Whenever I say something, I'll do it later. I just send it to you. Email. There you go. All right. There you go. Or you can just go and speak to the mole. You know there's a mole who turns out, mate. There's a mole on johnthebond.com who is bootlegging the MP3. You can just go and speak to that guy. I'm sure he'd be more than happy. I'm sure he'd be more than happy to give you the whole freaking archive. Mole on johnthebond.com. Yeah, there it is. I sent it. So, yeah, check that out, man. Ken Spire had a lot of nice. I'm glad he did. It's nice to be reminded. But how about put it go, man? So you have a good day, and I'll send you another email. We'll for a proper recording sooner up. I think he's had to go and tend to his truck. All right, so that's it for me, guys. John LeBond, 11/2020, now 12. Baker, just audio chat 450. Great to be here. Ab's a great guy. He's going to get some sleep. And tomorrow I'll wake up, and it's day 10 of sobriety. Happy days.
I'm really the end of it, and that's all, folks.